Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle. First, I want to thank you for listening in and know that you mean so much to me. I am a wife, mom of three, teacher, writer, and by nature, an encourager. I'm here juggling life and all that goes with it. That's why I want to spread a little faith and encouragement on your good and maybe not so good days to lift you up and onward. I'll be here reminding you that with God, nothing is impossible. And as you take your next step in your journey, I am filled with excitement because wherever you are, you will be encouraged. Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle, and you're listening to episode 111 with guest speaker Rachel Powell. Rachel, you guys, is going to be such a breath of fresh air. I don't know what you're facing today, but I'm telling you what, if you are facing change, a transition, a pivot, this message right here is for you. Rachel is also known as the Chief Communications Officer at Passengers, as she leads others and young people through their season of change themselves as they embark on a new adventure and go and visit Israel, the homeland itself. Yes, and she's just so passionate about it because it's impacted her personally. So she incorporates and infuses that all into her wonderful testimony that I know that will speak volumes to you today. I mean, I was hanging on every drip of her words today. I just feel like it's going to fill up your cup today as you yourself break down barriers, deepen your faith, and walk on to your new adventure. So saddle up, grab your cup of coffee, get on your walk or run, or wherever you are, be encouraged. Hello and welcome. Welcome, Rachel. It is so good to have you on this episode today.
Absolutely. And again, just thank you so much for having me on. But as Jackie was just saying, my name is Rachel. I currently serve as the Chief Communications Officer for an Israel Encounter program called Passages. And, you know, 8 years ago, I found myself standing on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem with just like a camera in my hand. And I was in Israel at that moment, capturing this experience that students were having for social media. And I just remember standing there being like, how in the world did I end up here? Like in this moment, looking over Jerusalem, having this experience with so many students. And it's really just been a crazy ride. So if you just like rewind a few years, I grew up on a farm with lots of siblings in a very entrepreneurial family. And I actually went to school for accounting. My dad was like, hey, Rachel, you should do accounting. You're great with numbers. It's a really good career path. And so, of course, my young self was like, of course, dad knows best. So this is what I should do. So I began just kind of like pursuing that direction in my life. I kind of like spun up all these plans of like the career path I was going to have in accounting and finance. And that was just kind of really like what I saw my life being and kind of like where I saw my life going. But I remember graduating with my accounting degree and I got a job in accounting. And I was like, I really, really like theology. And this really has nothing to do with the current path that my life is on. But you know what? While I'm working, I'd like to just do something for fun. So I pursued a master's in biblical studies. I really, at the time, I was like, I don't know how this fits into my life plan at all. I just want to do this for me. And so while I was working, kind of like pursuing my career, I started getting my master's. And during that process, it gave me the opportunity to travel to Israel for the first time. And it was such an incredible experience for me. It really just made the scriptures come alive for me. And I was just so intrigued with like the history of scripture, the location that had happened. But you know, when I came back, I was like, that was an amazing experience. It's going to transform my faith, but that is not the path I'm on. I'm going to do something with this when I retire. You know, maybe I'll use this master's degree and this experience in Israel to teach students when I'm, you know, in my 60s. And so I just kept pursuing that path that God had me on. And I was actually studying for like a professional certification for accounting. And it was in this period of my life that the Lord was like, Rachel, you need to pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. And I was a day out from taking that exam that I had studied for forever. And the Lord literally stopped me just like dead in my tracks. The day before I got like a severe brain injury and was literally just leveled. And the Lord was like, if you're not going to pay attention to me, I'm going to make you pay attention to me. And as I worked through just months of recovery from that injury, the Lord took me to Israel again. And it was with this opportunity, with this incredible organization called Passages. And it was through that process that the Lord of recovery, of taking me to Israel again, that the Lord was like, Rachel, listen to me. Do not be afraid of this different path that I have for your life. I have something so different for you, and it's so much better than you ever could have imagined. And so finally, after just leveling me flat on my back, the Lord was able to get through to my stubborn self. And it was not an immediate process for me. It was a process of slowly letting go of being like, okay, I'll do this and I'll do that. And so I just started volunteering before I was completely willing to like open up. But, you know, I've worked for this organization now for 5 years, and I never could have imagined that the Lord would take me from this small farm in rural Midwest to traveling to Israel over and over again, helping thousands of students encounter their faith and just challenge what God is calling them to do. And that never would have happened if the Lord wouldn't have just been like, Rachel, you have to listen to me.
Wow. I love this so much. I'm going to pull my microphone a little bit closer, but yes, I love this so much what you're saying, because pivoting every step of your way, you pivoted. God said, okay, no, like you literally listened to your dad. And then you went on this journey, and then you said, well, I'm going to pivot right here. I'm going to just take a second and do something for me and follow and pursue what's on my heart. And then you took another second and was like, hold on, maybe I'll just volunteer. And then, you know, you pivoted there are things out of your own control. And how many times do we do that, right? There's things just that are out of our control that we experience. And the Lord's grace just rests upon us in those moments. So I guess I want to go to those moments with you, Rachel, because your story is so beautiful. I think it's really going to help somebody. Every time you said, listen to me, I feel like the Lord is so personal right now today. I don't know where you see your life going. And I know, Rachel, that's a question that you asked yourself very early on was, I didn't know where I saw my life going, but you knew something was in your heart. You knew what you loved and you pursued what you loved, because God doesn't put things on our heart by accident. Can I just say that again, right? Like God does not put anything on our heart by accident. It is his desire for our lives. And if he will continue to cultivate that, and I see that in your life. So I guess I just want to hop on that train of pivoting and what comes to mind when we say that word.
That's such a great question. So I have always been like a very fearful person about the future, because I'm very type A. I like things to go as planned. And so when I think of the word pivot, to me, it actually represents fear. Like, and for so long in my life, like pivoting, it was like this thing of like changing my direction, making a 180 turn and going in a completely different way. And for me, especially my younger self, like that word just had so much fear, because I was like, I have a plan for my life. And if I change it, what's that going to mean for me? And I just always had this fear of stepping into something that I did not know. Was I good at this? Will I succeed at this? Again, that whole fear of failure, fear of stepping into something new. But I think like as I've grown and as the Lord has taught me, the word pivot actually no longer holds that fear for me. For me, it actually is like more of like action oriented. And it actually reminds me of like adventure. So now when I think of pivoting, I think of what's the next adventure that the Lord is leading me towards.
I think that's kind of cool. So when you do that, do you think pivoting it strengthens your faith?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So much. And when I think about my own life and the different ways that I was so fearful, and then the Lord just kind of brought a trial or a change into my life. And it was like, Rachel, you don't have a choice. You have to change. Something has to change in your life. And when I think about those changes, I think of like a very specific path that the Lord led me on and changed me and grew me through pivoting. And so I think the first thing that I really had to do in my journey of learning to pivot was first surrender. The scripture talks so much about how God calls us to surrender our lives, our will, our plan to Him. That's just like part of the journey. And there's a couple of verses in Matthew 16 where Jesus is talking to His disciples and He's looking at them saying, hey, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross and then you have to follow me. Because if you look at the way the world looks at your life, it's not about denial. It's just about following only what you want, what's only on, like what's only what you think is comfortable, what you think will bring you satisfaction. But the Lord is saying, no, no, no. If you want to live a life of meaning, then you have to lose your life because I have a better plan for you. And so that was kind of the first step for me. I had to be like, Lord, I'm going to surrender to you. And that's what I'm going to do. And so that surrendering process kind of led me to being able to hold my plans for my life lightly. I had just always held my fists so tightly and been like, these are my plans. These are my plans. And through kind of the process that the Lord took me, the trials that He took me through, the experiences that He took me through, I was able to just kind of like break open my hands and hold them open and say, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, I am willing to let you do that. And there's a passage in James where people are talking about their tomorrow. And James is talking about, you know, people like to boast about all kinds of things in life. And some of them will even come and say, you know, today I have these plans for my life and I'm going to go here and I'm going to accomplish this and I'm going to make all this money. James is just like, you don't even know what your tomorrow brings. How do you make these plans? And he's like, your life is just a mist. It's like mist that comes in the morning and tomorrow it's gone. And he's like, really what you should say is like, if the Lord wills, then you say, if the Lord wills, I will live and I will do this and that. And so I think for me, that was just that moment of surrender where I was like, I don't even have control over my life anyways. And it's such a short time. I'm going to let the Lord use me in whatever way He wants. And I think what that surrender and that holding plans lightly has done for me, it's actually like lifted this worry from my life and allowed me to just open up and say, I don't have to be worried about the future. I don't have to be worried about tomorrow because the Lord knows. He knows my tomorrow. He has my future. So I can surrender. I can open my hands and I can say, all right, Lord, I'm not worried about my future anymore because you have it. And I feel like that is really what those many different pivots in my life, the things that He has brought in my life has just taught me to do and to be.
Right. Oh my gosh. That's beautiful, Rachel. I'm literally hanging on every drip of your word because I'm just so in all of that and everything resonates so well. And every time I let go of that tight hand, oh my goodness, God is so faithful. You guys, when you open that hand of surrender, and I don't know what that looks like for you today, but I know it's not always a pretty process, right, Rachel? So we talk about, you know, it sounds really beautiful, but I mean, there's pretty like an ugly mess that kind of goes along with letting go of it all, right? There's some ugly cries involved. I know that's how I felt in my life, that sometimes I just had to be like, Lord, I don't want to let this go, but I trust you. And sometimes it's really, really hard to let go. And, you know, as you watch your children grow, I know, mom of three, and I think that resonates with me of each part of each stage of challenge of their lives, there are things that I have to let go. And no more does that part of parenting serve them well. And I have to, you know, let pieces of that go. And I think as a good parent, you have to do those things, even though it's hard. And I think God, He wants to carry all those things through our storms. So speaking of just that, the storms of life, you know, it can get pretty rough. You talked about, you know, a brain injury. I mean, that's not all a bed of roses to go through pain and suffering. So speak to that.
Yeah. So I love how you were saying that it's not a quick process. So I'm on this podcast and I'm giving you like a short version of my life, but this has happened over a course of like 10 plus years. of the Lord just bringing things into my life and bringing hard times and good times and many changes. And it's easy, I'm sure, like it's easy for me to be like, oh yeah, this was 10 minutes. It was 10 years of just this process, this slow process of the Lord changing me. And when I think about specific things in my life, there's like one example of kind of like a hard time and a pivot that I had to make in my younger years. Again, very driven. I'm still a driven person, but had a very specific, like, this is what I want my life exactly to look like. And I think the Lord has just kind of just, you know, laughed at that a little bit and been like, Rachel, that's not what I have for you. And so there was a specific time in my life where I was praying for something. And this was kind of at the beginning of my journey. I knew that because of my drivenness and just kind of who I was as a person, I was not a very compassionate person. And that really bothered me because I was like, Jesus loved people and he saw them and he saw them in their pain and he saw them for who they were. And I knew that that was not me. And I was like, wow, I felt so convicted about that. And I was like, Lord, I need to be a compassionate person. Like, will you teach me? And so I remember at the beginning of the year, I just began to pray for that. And I prayed for that for months, just months on months. I was like, Lord, will you grow my compassion for others? And I knew that that was just something in my heart that I did not have. And God really stepped into my life. And I always tell people when I tell a story, I'm like, be really careful what you pray for because God will answer your prayers, but probably not in the way that you ever anticipated. And so for me, like I had always prided myself in being super high performing and being able to always keep up. And again, like that was that moment in my life where the Lord, he just leveled me with that brain injury and was like, Rachel, you can do nothing apart from me. And if I choose to bring you to this point where you can't even like get out of bed, then I will do that. But this is the process that I have to take you through to be able to humble you to the point of suffering and letting go and being able to walk you through that process of like not only physical recovery, but like spiritual recovery. Because when the Lord takes you to your deepest place, he takes you to a place where he's like, this is not just a physical moment. This is not just it's not just a moment of physical healing, but it's also a moment of like spiritual strengthening. And so if we let the Lord use that in our lives, he really does use that. And so for me, God did answer my prayers. It was not in the way that I thought. And it was over a course of years that I recovered from that injury. And the Lord really, he slowed me down. He forced me to be still and to be in pain. And that is a really hard place to be. But if you let the Lord use that in your life, he grows you. He changes who you are. And I think the process of becoming a more compassionate person, like it never ends. But I've just seen over those years since that moment, how the Lord has not only brought that situation, but other painful situations into my life where he just continues to soften my heart so that I see people the way that he sees them. And so I think it's for those reasons that I can just now look back and be thankful and say, Lord, I never would have asked for that situation, but it has just changed me as a person and grown my faith just so significantly.
Wow. You know, what Psalm 119 came to mind when you talk about suffering and pain, and it just popped up into my mind in my daily devotion this morning. That was the verse I was just kind of honing in on. And I wrote out how David, why was this man who had everything in affliction, right? He was suffering in pain and affliction. And you just think, well, he was the king. He had the whole entire kingdom. You think about, he wasn't suffering from any, you know, being poor, but just a drought in spirit. Like he said, and I love this, that he said, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto his feet or a light into his path. And I just feel like Somebody here today needs to know the word of God can help you through any pain and suffering. It will light up your path, even if it's a glimmer. And I see that in your life, Rachel, the things that you're talking about, how God has answered those prayers. I find it by no coincidence at all that you just follow Jesus because you're in the word of God. The living, breathing word of God is in you, flowing through you. It heals you. You can leap. You know, bet your dollar, every single thing you have on the word of God because you trust him. And it's not an easy thing, you guys, to trust, you know, God when you can't see the outcome. Like, I mean, you were in bed, you couldn't move. I just think about all the things that you lost, but how much you've gained. And sometimes you might be in this season, and I don't know, I'm speaking, maybe preaching to myself, but there might be sometimes you feel like you're at a loss and you feel like, okay, well, why am I feeling like it's going so slow? But God is going to thrust you forward into your calling and your purpose. And it's not by any accident. And if you can switch it to that spiritual challenge and adventure up ahead, I think that's like what the cool part of your story is, Rach, that everything that you just said, it just breathes life back into the pain, the suffering of change and pivoting. Am I right? I don't know.
So right. It's so true.
So good. God is so good. And I just love that you even change your way from my mentality, like my way mentality, to God's way. And, you know, he says it in his word. I mean, I've listened to this verse over and over, and maybe this is the first time we were going to listen to it, but Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you," on all those things. And I believe that God has wanted you to know he's got good in store for you. This isn't to harm you. Isn't to because he's mad at you. And I think sometimes we can get stuck in that mentality, right? Like, it's not going my way. He's probably mad at me.
Yes, it's so true.
And you speak to a lot of youth. You know, you talk about, you know, you go to Israel with college students and you speak life to them. So tell me, what is, you know, how do you open up their eyes to what God has for them and in store? Because I think, if I think about my youth, I was not always good at taking advice from others.
No, it's so true. When you're young, you think you know everything and you're like, I know what I'm going to do and I know exactly how my life is going to turn out. And you're right. I work with a lot of college students and even high school students. And as I chat with them, I sometimes inwardly chuckle because they're telling me all their plans for their life. And I'm like, I'm really glad you have plans for your life, but I hope that you leave room for the Lord to do what he's going to do. But yeah, in the work that I do, I do have this privilege to work with so many college and high school students, thousands of them every year. And really for me, the work that I do centers on traveling to Israel. And so for me, the first time that I was able to travel to Israel, I was 21 and I was studying and I was just learning so much about who God is, who he says he is, what he says in scripture about himself. And Israel was this place that it just kind of like defined all of that for me, because I was able to go to the places where Jesus walked and taught and all of these passages in the Old Testament took place. And it really made it become like real and gritty, and like, scripture no longer felt like this like fairy tale for me of like stories from ancient history. It was like real, because it was dirty and sweaty. And like, you go and you sweat and you walk and you get tired and you get thirsty, and you really can, it really helped scripture become more like humanized for me. And for me, it also was like a huge moment of pivot. Like, that is the moment in my life where I thought, I want this to be a part of my future. And I didn't know how at the time, and I was still pursuing my career path. But for me, that kind of began this change and this journey in my life of like going a different direction. So now, as I work with students on a regular basis, I get to hear their stories just like over and over again. And so often, just like myself, like, they're so fearful about the future. They're in college, they're seniors in high school. They're trying to figure out like, what's next for me? What's going to be my career path? Who am I going to marry? They just have all these big questions in life that they're trying to work through. And I think Israel just comes in and just kind of shakes them up and acts as this catalyst moment for them. And so I have so many stories of how my work has been able to do that. But I just want to tell one in particular that happened a few years ago of a dear friend of mine. Her name is Danielle. She is one of the bravest people and smartest I've ever met in my life. But I remember standing with Danielle in Israel, and it's also on the Mount of Olives. We're standing there, we're looking over Jerusalem, and we're just having this deep conversation about like where the Lord is calling us. What are we doing in our lives? And Danielle was an emergency room nurse. That was what she had trained for. It's what she did in her life. And I just remember her looking at me saying, Rachel, like the Lord is calling me to work somehow with people who are struggling in the Middle East and to use my talents to serve them. She's like, I don't know what that looks like, but I feel this calling on my life. Wow. And so she went home. She started looking, she just started Googling. She's like, how can I use the talents that the Lord has given me with, you know, trauma nursing, working in emergency rooms, having these skills. And she signed up for a ministry that actually sends people to areas of the world that are in the most dire need. So mm-hmm. if there's ever a war or there's an outbreak of some kind of disease for people who are in need, they send people there. And so she signed up for this and she told me about it. And I was like, you are so brave. But the Lord has, I've watched the Lord use that in her life. And so she continued in her life. She continued in her passion of nursing, but when they called, she went, and this ministry took Danielle to war-torn Syria, where she worked in a tent hospital, serving people who had been injured in the civil war that was going on there. It took her to Bangladesh to working in a refugee tent city where there was like an outbreak of this just terrible disease. And she worked there serving the people. And it also took her to Congo where there was a civil war going on, but there was an outbreak of Ebola. And she worked in a tent hospital in the bush in Congo serving Ebola patients. And I see like the Lord would have never done that in her life without just kind of like shaking up her experience. And so for me, it's just so amazing to be able to help facilitate that experience for students where it just takes them out of their comfort zone and takes them to a place where they're challenged, like not only in their faith, but just in their view of the world. Because traveling to the Middle East is so different than our normal day to day. The culture is so different. And so it just, I love what I get to do. And like her story and the story of many others that I get to work with, it just encourages me to like over and over again, just like be like, Lord, what do you have for me? What's my next step?
Yes, Lord, what do you have for us today? I love that just word of encouragement. I love that you said, shake it up. I think more of us, let's go. Lord, just when you wake up, shake it up, Lord, you know, because I want, you're right. Like the heart of what I want is His will. And I think you have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, shake it up if you want God's will. Right. So I think that's just a beautiful way. And Danielle, oh my gosh, little shout out. You're so brave and beautiful to say yes to God and to help so many people. I think what a scary, but yet courageous thing to do. And I think that's what God wants from us. He wants our yes. Right? He wants us to keep pursuing Him. And it's okay if it looks different than how you imagined it. I'm going to say that again. It looks different. If it looks different, that's okay than how you imagined it. It's okay. It's okay to embrace different. And it's okay to take a look, and it doesn't have to look like anybody else's, because guess what? God didn't make you like anybody else. I think that's kind of how I wish somebody would have reminded me, like you have your own genetic like makeup, your own talents and gifts that God is just pouring into you, and it will set you up. And I think that's the cool part about you reaching out to this generation, younger generation, you know, that goes before you, goes after you. I just think it's really cool how you're able to pave a way with them to show them that different is awesome and to embrace their pivot, right? So amen. Yeah, I love that. So how can we learn to embrace, what do you think is, you know, how can we be more open-minded to embrace the younger generation to learn from them?
That is such a great question. As I've like worked with the younger generation, I have seen like a couple of patterns kind of in this next generation. And it's really kind of like given me the opportunity to like speak into that for them. But then there's also so much for me to learn from them as well. So I think when I look at the next generation, I think specifically of like major things that have impacted their lives. So I come from a big family. I have a couple of sisters who are in that Gen Z and even younger generation. Yeah. And so I've gotten to watch kind of like firsthand their lives unfold and kind of some of the struggles that they're dealing with. And one thing that I noticed was like the pandemic like drastically affected their lives. And it just kind of like exaggerated kind of these like these things that they were already wondering about, but it really just kind of like isolated them. And what I've kind of noticed is like this pattern post the pandemic is that this generation of students, like they lost a lot. They lost a couple of years of their life in like some of the most pivotal times of their life, where they're in high school, they're thinking about where they're going, they're graduating. And it has really kind of like for them thrust them into this world like a little bit more quickly and made them grow up a little bit faster. And it's caused a lot of them to just question everything. Yeah. What do I believe? Do I even believe who God is? Mm-hmm. There's so much conflict in our culture. Like, how do I deal with this? How do I even step into it? Yeah. And it's also this feeling of loneliness and isolation of like, how do I connect with others? Where do I go? And what do I do with that? And I think that we as an older generation have the privilege of being able to speak into that for them and just not shy away from those hard questions, but really just like dig into them with them. And I think as we do that and as we let them ask us questions, it also like changes who we are. Because yeah. I think sometimes the older we get, the more we get set in our ways. We see the world in a very specific way. And I think by diving into a younger generation, it just allows us to kind of like be open to the way that the Lord is maybe changing their lives in a different way than he's changing mine. And also being open to like seeing the world in a new way. I know I see the world a very specific way, but like others don't. And like when you go younger and older, you see all of this different viewpoints, and that can really help us and not help us like grow our faith and change who we are. And so that's also one of the reasons I love the work that I do, because I get to do that. I get to take students and spend this time with them, and our organization does. I don't get to go on every trip, but it's really fun. But it really gets to like address kind of those three issues where it's like, what do I believe? Who is this Jesus? What is scripture? Is it real? I also like Israel is also a really good way of kind of like challenging their perceived notion of like the world. Okay, I come from a Western context, but not the whole world sees things like this. So how do I kind of like shake up the way that I see the world, and how the way I address conflict and listen to people who are different than me. And then also just kind of the aspect of like loneliness. How do we build community? Like, how do we truly get to know each other? How does the church come alongside of the next generation? Mm. So that's kind of the way that like I interact with the next generation. And I think the way that like they can challenge us, and then we can also challenge them. And I think that that's so beautiful. It should never be one way. Yeah. It should always be two ways. We should never be so far along or so like how we think ourselves wise or so like to a certain age where we're like, I have nothing left to learn from people who are younger than me. So that's, it's really an act of humility in a yeah. lot of ways, to just open yourself up to say, well, what are you learning?
No. Oh God, that's so good to ask them the questions too, the hard questions, and to make it that two-way street conversation. And I love that. Shake up your own ways. Like, it does remind me that we can learn so much. Like, we cannot underestimate the generation under us. And we certainly cannot underestimate the generation before us. We can all take something and a piece of them, which is why I love having friends in all different age pockets of my life. I feel like God has done that on purpose. I love that he did that. And it's so cool because I have, you know, very good friends that are 10, 20 years older than me. And then there's like the 10, you know what I mean? Years younger. Yes. And it's just a beautiful way of God shaking our hearts up because we don't have it all. And I love what Paul says, you know, oh gosh, where whenever one of the letters he says, but he's like, I don't have it all together. He's like, I don't even have all of this faith thing right. But you know, I press on towards what's ahead, you know, and I think his words just stick out to me because I hope I can say that. I hope I don't ever think that I have faith all figured out. Cause guess what, you guys, I don't. I'm gonna be real with you. I am learning. And some days I'm a really good looking Christian. And other days I am flopping all over the place, but that's the walk. You know what I mean? And I think the generation needs to see that. Generation below us needs to see it's authentic and it's real and it's not made up.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Yeah. So I think we're just going to end here today. I'd love for us to kind of just go back to the beginning part, you know, where we talk about where do you see your life going? If you're hanging on to that question, what is your encouragement for someone today and encouraging them when the pivot, you know, seasons start to shift and change? What is your encouragement for them today, Rachel?
Absolutely. So first I would say life changes. Like there's nothing you can do to prevent the fact that like life does change. So for me, I've learned that like there's no reason to resist or fear or resent that change because the Lord is using it in our lives to grow us into who he wants us to be. And so for me, I'm like, I now really try to embrace change in my life and not see it as something to be feared, but it's more like, all right, Lord, what next adventure are you going to take me on? Because for me, that's the story of my life. When I was so fearful of changing, but when I started to let go and let God change, he really did lead me on some of the most amazing adventures of my life. And for me, that has led me to Israel time and time again. And I truly believe I'm like, every time I'm there, I'm like, Lord, I can't believe that this is where you have led me. So for me, I would just say life changes, learn to trust God and embrace that change. Mm-hmm. And then of course, last but not least, like if you haven't been to Israel, you have to go. That'd be my last parting word. Like find a way to go to Israel because it really does change and shape the way that you see the world, your faith, scriptures. So it's just such a life transforming moment. So that would be my last word of encouragement. Find a way to go to Israel.
I'm coming. Rachel, when are we going?
Yeah, exactly. And if you're a student listening, find us, us and send us a message. We'd love to take you to Israel.
Those links are definitely going to be in the show notes, you guys. So check them out. Go ahead over there. And thank you so much, Rachel, for encouraging us to let go and embrace change and to shake it up and embrace that as well in our lives, because good things are up ahead for not only you, Rachel, but for everyone here listening. Thank you, everybody. Awesome. And I hope you are encouraged.
Thanks, Jackie.
I absolutely loved that episode, didn't you? Well, listen, if you did, would you do me a big favor and go ahead over to Apple Podcasts and go ahead and write a raving review? Yes, a review, because that means more people get to view it just like you and be encouraged just like you. So thank you so much for filling up my cup today. Go ahead and you can also give it 5 stars. Yep, 5 stars. And that will be another way you can fill up my cup. Thank you again so much. Don't forget to also share this with all your friends and family. Encourage them onward. Have a great day, everybody.